are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, January 31st. And is it cold enough for you outside? But this is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. Pistons fan and follower my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen. Appreciate that. Today we're going to take a look at Thursday's game against Dallas tonight, I guess is a better way of putting it. Probably Dirk Nowitzki's last trip to Detroit. We're also going to take the temperature on the media environment about the Pistons right now. Fans are restless. Media is restless. Everyone's restless about this team as the trade deadline approaches. I'm going to maybe further expand on my Tom Gore's thoughts from yesterday. Some tank talk. Also, Wojo weighs in the Detroit news. And we're also going to point out the latest must-read out there in the world of the internet that you got to check out about a beloved figure from Pistons past. We'll talk about that story and that guy a little bit later on here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And give us a like on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. Appreciate you guys doing all that on social media. But tonight, the Pistons taking on the Dallas Mavericks for the second time in 7 days. A 7 o'clock game at Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. Frigid downtown Detroit. My nostrils were frozen on the short trip from the Birmingham Athletic Club to the car on Thursday or on Wednesday night, about 30 yards or so, but it was about negative 14. So good times here in the frosty D. But the Mavs played Friday against the Pistons at home. They then lost their next game at home to Toronto, but then got a big win, easy win on Wednesday against the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Every game against the Knicks is pretty much an easy win these days. So Dallas coming in on the second night of a back-to-back. The Pistons this season are 2-1 when playing opponents who are on the second half of a back-to-back. And Dallas, by the way, has won 3 out of 4 of their last games, including that win against the Pistons. The injury report made me laugh when I saw it. Ishmith already listed as out as of Wednesday night for Thursday night's game, so sounds like the recovery for the groin injury is not going as planned. Reggie Bullock, is I guess, has been upgraded as opposed to Monday where he was doubtful to day-to-day. But this is an unfortunate duo to be listed on the injury report less than a week before the trade deadline, right? I mean, the two guys would be the easiest for this team to trade, and you could get something for either of them or both of them. You know, it depends on the level of what you could get for them. But theoretically, you could get definitely something for these guys at the deadline. Both of them are hurt. The two freaking guys who are hurt on this team, the ones we've talked about on this pod that they probably should trade, and these injuries are going to hurt their value enough to where it's probably not even worth it to trade them and what you would get for the return. So, you know, maybe better off to just keep their bird rights and see what happens with the free agency up this summer. So this freaking team, right? The luck, and I mean, I know that the Pistons situation is certainly not all or even a lot about bad luck, but when it is time to maybe make some prudent decisions with the new front office in here, they're probably not even going to be able to have the chance to make some of those decisions coming up on February 7th. But the Dallas Mavericks coming to town means Dirk Nowitzki is coming to town and probably what will be his last season in the NBA. 21 years as a stalwart for the Dallas Mavericks, one-time NBA champion and a one-time MVP, I believe, although maybe he got two. I'm thinking he just had one, though. Just a storied career, great guy to watch, one that everyone roots for, even outside of the Dallas Mavericks organization. Best European basketball, best NBA player from Europe of all time. I think we can safely say that. Although we'll see if his rookie teammate one day takes that mantle. A lot to put on Luka Doncic's shoulder, but that guy's been a special rookie at 19, as predicted here on the Locked On Pistons podcast leading up to the draft last year. But there is, however, the chance that Dirk sits on the second half of a back-to-back. It's not like he has any special connection to Detroit and the Pistons, like he needs to play in this game as part of his non-farewell tour. He hasn't told anyone he's retiring, but you can kind of figure it out, A, from his play, and B, he was quoted, you know, in New York is saying, if this is my last time, that kind of thing. So he's inviting that kind of discourse, and you got to believe this is probably going to be it for Dirk. A little bit understated, so not one of those types that's going to do a farewell tour, but like I said, read between the lines, watch him play, and it looks pretty obvious this might be the last ride for Dirk. But, you know, if he's only playing 12 minutes or so, do you need to sit him on the second half of back-to-back? You might as well just get him out there and play him a little bit. Luka the other night had 15, 8, and 5 the other night. I mean, Wednesday night for the Mavericks against the Knicks. Dennis Smith Jr., however, had 13 points, 15 assists, and 10 rebounds with the Xavier Simpson-like triple-double there. Really doing some showcasing for some other teams at the trade deadline. And I know there's a corner, you guys in Pistons Twitter land and Pistons fan land, that want them some Dennis Smith Jr. I'm not huge on the idea, but certainly, you know, because it feels like a player that you would trade, like the Blake Griffin proposal that was out there from the Ringer. You know, Dennis Smith wouldn't be enough of a package, you know, centerpiece for a Blake Griffin. Whereas if we're talking about like Ish Smith or Reggie Bullock, or even you combine those guys, like certainly Dennis Smith is way more valuable than those guys being the centerpiece for a Dennis Smith Jr. trade. So it's like he's either too good for some of the Pistons assets or not good enough for some of the other Pistons assets. Now, of course, the elephant in the room being maybe they feel like Andre Drummond could be a piece for them, but we don't know. Certainly the indication from what we hear around, but you know, Vince Ellis, some of his sources that he talks about is that there's not a lot of interest out there for Reggie or for Andre Drummond right now. Certainly there's no interest for Reggie Jackson, but not a lot of interest for Reggie or for Andre Drummond either, as I get these guys mixed up. But Dallas is now three games out of the playoff mix in the West, but they've got to jump a bunch of teams before they get to that eighth spot, looking unlikely for them in Big D. But a lot to be excited about with the future with Luka Doncic and all those expiring contracts coming off the books next year, or this summer, I should say. Detroit, by the way, down to 2.5 games out of the Eastern Conference playoffs, although they are tied with Washington for ninth place now. But with the Charlotte loss yesterday, the Pistons just 2.5 games out of the Eastern Conference playoff picture. And picking at 2.5, the Pistons are 2.5 point favorites. And we know that Vegas keeps an eye on which teams are on a back-to-back and all that good stuff. So there are some believers out in Sin City and the Pistons tonight. Pistons, after this one, will finish up the homestand with a Saturday afternoon matinee against the Clippers, and then Monday night at home against the Denver Nuggets. The first of two looks that the Pistons will have the rest of the year with Nikola Jokic and Michael Malone, former, son of former Pistons assistant coach, two-time Pistons assistant coach, Brendan Malone. Always interested to see what Michael Malone's doing in the NBA with his Pistons roots. But after that, the Pistons will have a home-and-home with New York next week. And of those games, in between those two games, will be the trade deadline on February 7th. But up next, I'm going to talk a little bit more about Tom Gores, some tank talk, some media itching, I guess. It's all that's going on with you guys on Twitter and everything, just kind of some general thoughts on that. But did you get a smart speaker over the holidays? Go ahead and tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Pistons. Any of your smart speakers, Amazon, Google, whatever ones you got in your crib, go ahead and say play podcast Locked On Pistons. The newest episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast comes on. It's like magic. It's everything you could possibly ask for.
Yes!
All right, a little bit later on, the latest must-read out there about a beloved figure from Pistons past, in my eyes anyway. I'm not sure how the Pistons faithful at large remembers this man, but so we'll talk about that story a little bit later on. But Rod Beard continuing to push back on Twitter, and I know we're doing a lot of daily Twitter type of stuff, Valeni rants on the ticket, trade deadline, angst, all that stuff. But I don't blame Rod. He gets a lot of crap on Twitter. All the beat writers do. His latest is kind of a pushback. Apparently, people kind of going after him for holding the water of the franchise. And not just Rod, but probably some of the other guys as well. And obviously, we know the beat writers are in a difficult spot. And I don't think any of these guys, by the way, that are day-to-day guys with the team. I'm not a day-to-day guy with the team. I fill in sometimes, but and you could throw Ansar Khan of MLive into there. That you know, they're doing their job. And Rod talks about the team not tanking and not entertaining a lot of discussion about the tanking, because it's not a thing that is going to happen. It's not the thing that realistically he's going to have to worry himself with, other than having theoretical conversations with the Mike Valenis of the world and those fans that want the tank. And I've never sat here and said that if you think the Pistons should tank, that you're an idiot or you're wrong. But I kind of side with Rod in that, like, it's kind of a counterproductive conversation to have when it's just not going to happen. And I understand the reasons that it's not going to happen either. I don't think that, like, they're being, you know, misguided for not doing it. I think there's a lot of reasons not to do it. I think there's a lot of teams out there that are examples and reasons not to do it, and even more so going forward, given the flattening of the lottery. And another thing from the media is that Bob Wojnarowski, Wojo of the Detroit News, my coworker there, he says the Pistons need to tear it down. He kind of came out with his revelatory column there. I believe that ran in Wednesday's paper about that. Just said that the plan has failed. And the Pistons need to tear it down. Well, you know, I think that's kind of where we're at. And his column talked about the trading of Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson. Again, this is, and he, interestingly enough, one of the passages he talked about was said the Pistons should look to trade at the deadline Reggie Bullock, Ish Smith, Stanley Johnson, like we all believe and agree with. But he also threw Luke Kennard as a kind of a strange fourth name to throw in that mix. Not to say that I disagree that Luke Kennard should be off the table, but it's certainly not someone that gets talked a lot by Pistons Nation. And talked about how Luke Kennard they should trade for young assets. And obviously, Luke Kennard is a second-year player, so to say that they should trade him for young assets, obviously Wojo seems to be thinking about, you know, kind of a longer-term plan than someone who's going to be under a rookie deal for a few more years. So interesting that I thought he put that in there. But like I said, I agree that obviously they should be looking to trade Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond, but I just don't think that there's a lot of teams that are interested in either of those guys. And of course, Mike Valeni, I do download the I'm subscribed to the Valeni Show podcast. They put up like 15-minute clips. So if ever they talk about the Pistons, I'll listen to those. And so he talks about, he went on a monologue from the Tom Gores quotes that came out after Tuesday's game, or during Tuesday's game, I guess. And Valeni went on a long rant about how Tom Gores gets a free pass in this town. Now, I don't know who he talks to or what fans he talks to, but I've never heard anyone give Tom Gores a free pass. I think this guy has like a near unanimous unapproval rating in this town. And I think the team has lost so many fans and lost so much enthusiasm that, yeah, it's not on the tip of everyone's tongue. It's not on the front of everyone's mind that they don't like Tom Gores. But I've never heard anyone other than myself on this show yesterday going out and defending Tom Gores. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe there's some pocket of fans who kind of agree with my take that Tom Gores isn't too bad. But again, Valeni went on a little monologue about Gores. I listened to his other snippet from the show and he's talked about how Radio Row is so stupid. I just love the sidekicks on there just busting out laughing hilariously anytime Mike Valeni says something. Like they went on a thing where he'd name off old NFL players and these guys died. Like it was the funniest thing they ever heard that Valeni said Steve Berline or something like that. But anyway, and yes, I'll agree with Valeni in a lot of it, most of it. I agree with most of what Mike Valeni says. I just think he has to say things in a certain way that kind of get to fans. He's like the troll in that way. But Tom Gores, yes, I agree. When he talks, he sounds like he's not a bright guy, especially when he talks about the Pistons and the NBA. He obviously has a lot of love for Andre Drummond. We've talked about that in the past. But there are a lot of, let's just say, you know, other wealthy people prominent in this country that don't sound very bright when they talk either. Some of them in the city of Detroit as well. But they made it. They cracked the code, I guess. And I'm not here to be a hater. But I'll say it again. I think I'm the only guy in this city who doesn't mind Gores as much as most people do. Now, he's not Mike Ilitch, but who is, as far as Detroit ownership? I think he spends more than would be absolutely necessary on the uncapped things, the coaching, the front office. And I know that in a capped league, winning takes more of a long-term cohesive strategy, especially when he's entering what he entered when he bought this team. They needed to take some steps backward before they took some steps forward, and he doesn't seem interested or having the patience to do those kind of things. But I'll also say this. In terms of the lists of sins that are bad for an owner to have, and I'll agree that he didn't take the most responsible route and probably isn't taking the most responsible route if he's thinking about holding on to Andre Drummond at all costs, something we don't know for sure, by the way. But is it the worst sin that your owner wants to win too badly and too soon? Man, I'm not saying it's always the right call, and not even in this case the right call, but you could certainly have a lot worse ownership situations than that. Like every damn owner in the NFL, even the ones who win, just a pathetic, detestable group of slimy human beings. Go down the list. Dan Gilbert, no thanks. I mean, Tom Gores has never talked about moving the team. He's never been unspeakably cheap to save a buck. They've never traded off draft picks to clear salary. We don't have Donald Sterling situations. We don't have Marge Schott situations. We don't have Jerry Jones situations, whatever goes on with the Dolphins every few years and moving franchises around. And every, like I said, every NFL owner out there, there are detestable owners out there, worthless human beings. And he thought, and I thought, and a lot of you guys thought, that when these hires were made by Tom Gores, that he was hiring seemingly the right people. It turns out that maybe they were the right people at the wrong time. I'm not making excuses. The results have not been there. But that's more, if we're looking, talking about the results of the Tom Gores era, it's more Stan Van Gundy than Gores. It's more Joe Dumars than Gores. And I don't know. I'm not sitting here saying this guy is in the top half of owners in the NBA. I'm just saying I don't hate him like a lot of you guys out there. And I heard Valeni the other day. They did a segment, who do you want out of here in Detroit sports? And one of the sidekicks said Tom Gores, the one person that you want out of here in the city of Detroit sports, or state of Michigan sports. I don't know what the exact parameters of the discussion was, but it was Tom Gores. Of all the people to get rid of in Detroit sports, anyone associated with the Detroit Lions, let's just start right there. Jordan Zimmerman's contract. Miggy, if you're not a fan of some of the low points of his last 5 or 6 years. If you're a Stafford hater, you know, the detractors there. Kenny Holland has made a lot of questionable direction shifts with the Red Wings. And maybe if you are tired of the Pistons, you know, you don't think Andre or Reggie Jackson might be more beneficial? I mean, depending on how you feel about Andre, of course. But you don't think one of those guys would be more beneficial to get out of here? I certainly can understand a lot of that, or that kind of talk. But Tom Gores is not in my top 10 of people to get rid of in Detroit sports. He really isn't. And I know that I'm literally alone on this. I know that this is the worst opinion I've had, that everyone just thinks Tom Gores is the worst. You know, that they bring up that he lives in California. I have zero problem with the fact that someone would rather live in California. Were you outside on Wednesday? Did you enjoy that? I mean, come on. Like, the fact that you can live in Malibu and live also in Detroit and spend some time here while you're, you know, mostly over there. I will not ever hate someone for that kind of thing. And I know that he looks like a clown on the sidelines. He does his hair in a way that he's a little bit removed from reality. He's throwing the t-shirts. He likes to party at games. Again, not all things that I hate. I think a lot of those things are fine. I've been known to overindulge and have a little bit too much fun myself. I can only imagine if I was a billionaire and what kind of things I would do with that money. But, you know, some of the guys on Twitter, since we had the podcast yesterday where I kind of said some nice words about Tom Gores like I'm doing right now, guys who normally see eye to eye with me on a lot of stuff, nobody's with me on this one. And that's fine. I'm not sticking up for Tom Gores. I'm just saying he's not the worst. As far as the issues with this team, I think it was Stan Van Gundy's drafting. It was the complete back half of Joe Dumars' time with the Pistons, Stan Van Gundy's free agent signings. I mean, there's a lot of things that contribute to what's happened with the Pistons. I will say Reggie Jackson's injuries have a lot to do with it. Andre Drummond's, I'd say, you know, stagnation might be the right word there. But I don't think that Tom Gores' decisions, and now Stan Van Gundy didn't work out. But the fact that he went out and got the guy that every NBA team wanted that offseason, does that mean that it was a bad decision? Obviously, the results are bad. And you could argue that, you know, in retrospect, it's a bad decision. But I just don't think that spending a lot of money and getting the hot name out there was necessarily the wrong move. Now, this front office seems to be a little bit different. Some expensive pieces in terms of development and assistant general manager guys, but they certainly didn't get the biggest names out there. Dwayne Casey was one of the big names in the coaching search. But the other thing about the quotes about Tom Gores, you know, what is he supposed to say about Andre Drummond? He says that Andre and Blake are the foundation of this team. Well, he's paying him $25 million for the next this year and the next 2 years. So obviously he's going to be when he makes that kind of money. What's he supposed to say? Andre sucks. We'd love to get rid of him if we could. Yeah, that would be great for business. Great for his trade value there. So I don't know. I mean, we talked about Kevin O'Connor talking about the Pistons checking on Marc Gasol, and it was Memphis the other day. That sounds like they're dangling Drummond to me. We've heard enough rumors about Drummond over the past few years with regards to Charlotte and with regards to Sacramento, some of these other trade rumor situations that obviously there's someone in the organization that thinks that they could possibly trade him, even though we don't know what's happening at the top. But again, not the again, I'm not saying Tom Gorge is a good owner. I'm just saying that we haven't been proven enough. There's not enough track record to say that this guy's horrible. And really, if you look at the moves and the willingness to spend some money, there's some stability, the move downtown, which I like, you know, not too bad. But anyway, is your company looking for a way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demo is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons. Email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Next, the latest media must read out there about a beloved figure from Pistons past. We'll talk about that story and that figure up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, and your homework, in addition to telling everyone you know, shouting it from the mountaintops about the Locked On Pistons podcast and how everyone should be listening to it and downloading it and subscribing to it and giving ratings and reviews on iTunes and all that good stuff. But your other homework is to read the article from The Athletic by John Krasinski, an NBA writer for The Athletic. He was with the Associated Press for a long time, really good writer out there in Minnesota. He had a great piece that was passed along by James Edwards III on The Athletic and talked about Ricky Rubio and Ryan Saunders. Of course, Ricky Rubio, now the Utah Jazz point guard, was with Minnesota for a long time. And Ryan Saunders, the son of the late Flip Saunders, former Detroit Pistons coach, who has taken over as the coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves on an interim basis after the firing of Tom Thibodeau. So Ryan Saunders, son of Flip Saunders, now coaching in Minnesota. The story talks about how they bonded, those two guys bonded in the grief of losing their parents to cancer. Flip came up also when I talked about John, when I talked to John Horst recently, kind of a positive influence in John Horst, the Milwaukee Bucks general manager, when he was coming up. Ricky Rubio lost his mom to lung cancer a few months after Ryan Saunders lost his dad, Flip Saunders, to Hodgkin's lymphoma as well. So a sad story, but a must read for Detroit Pistons fans. But Flip, man, usually universally regarded as a good guy. I remember when he passed, I was living in the Virgin Islands, a sad Sunday, sitting actually at a local establishment, getting ready to watch your Detroit Lions play some football on a Sunday. But it's been really nice to see Ryan get this gig in Minnesota, however long that lasts. Would be nice to see those guys make the playoffs too. They got a nice win on a buzzer beater on Wednesday night with Karl-Anthony Towns coming through in the clutch. So nice to see the off-balance jumper in the corner, as my ESPN alert said tonight, to beat the Memphis Grizzlies. And now that they don't have Jimmy Butler, maybe I'll kind of jump on the ship with the Minnesota Timberwolves bandwagon the rest of the season, see if they can get into the playoffs as well. Certainly more fun than watching the Detroit Pistons night in and night out the other day. I saw a video of Flip Saunders shortly before he died. He made a video and sent it to a mutual friend of ours for his for that friend's 50th birthday. And, you know, sent along some well wishes. So Flip Saunders, you know, took the time to do those kind of things, despite the fact that he was, you know, as big of a deal as he is in the NBA world. And I was with the guy when we saw it, and just a heartfelt guy, the Flip Saunders was. And all the love for Flip from those that knew him was easy to see. I knew when he came in, and he couldn't get it ultimately done with the Pistons after Larry Brown left and still that stacked roster that we all know and loved back then. But they had Pistons had some nice runs with Flip, some very good teams, some good regular seasons as well. I will never forget, though, the first, you know, in-depth research you did on Flip as you read all the articles when he comes in. What's the deal with this guy? Remember, he was the nicely dressed guy that coached Kevin Garnett back in the day. But he had a long-form article column meeting with Mitch Albom, back when Mitch Albom used to get access to all the big-time Detroit sports stars, back when he did a lot more sports writing. And it was shortly after he was hired, he talked about how Mitch was talking about how Flip was showing him a bunch of magic tricks that he does. He was kind of famous for doing magic tricks. And Mitch Albom, by the way, another Detroit sports figure that is like universally loathed by the average sports fan. And I still ride for Mitch. I love me some Mitch Albom still. I know I'm alienating the listeners with some of my opinions of people who I still ride for in Detroit sports. But I thought to myself when I read about Flip Saunders doing card tricks with Mitch Albom that I thought, how exactly is Rasheed Wallace going to react to his coach being the guy who can do magic tricks? I thought right then, yeah, you know what? I don't think this team is going to win any more championships as currently constructed and with this coach. And I was right. But Flip Saunders, like I said, universally regarded as a great guy and worth a read with John Krasinski, The Athletic, about Ricky Rubio and Ryan Saunders, their connection in a tragic way. But give us your take, by the way. We're looking for some trade deadline ideas, some trade deadline chatter. The unfortunate news that Ish Smith and Reggie Bullock are hurt at the exact wrong time they need them to be. Give us a call on the Google Voice line, 810-666-1546. Could use a little bit more content to get us through the week here as I've burning both ends of the candle with the squash, the Pistons, and all the other stuff that I'm working on for the Detroit News, which is some good stuff I'm excited to share with you over the next few weeks. But 810-666-1546. That'll do it for the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying enjoy Dirk's final game in Detroit until the NBA Finals later this year, of course, and enjoy some Luka Doncic time tonight and think about those kind of things and how we don't have him here in Detroit and how it'd be nice to have those kind of things here with the Pistons. But enjoy the night, everyone.